our happy privilege and to present to the convention our dear brother Adam Miskowitz of Chicago, who is going to speak to us on the topic, Speaking the Truth in Love. Brother Miskowitz. I share with you, dear brothers, the joy that is filling your hearts while we meet together to worship our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. And if the love of the Chicago brethren has not yet been conveyed to you, you'll have it now. There's a good number of brethren, perhaps, that would like to be here, but for some reason or other could not, that are in the Chicago area. They want to be remembered to this convention. Speaking the truth in love. We're all familiar with this wonderful phrase, this beautiful phrase, but just to get our spiritual bearings, let us read from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, that is, some to be apostles and some to be prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now these are some of the gifts that are enumerated which Jesus had given for the church. The objective, that is the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and the purpose was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and that we may grow up in all things into him which is the head, even Christ. All of the Lord's people who love the truth enjoy to speak the truth. We know that the truth, as has been mentioned today from the platform, has not been given to us that we should selfishly contain it only for ourselves, that we should hoard it, no, but that we might make it known to others. For wouldn't it be that God's word would return to him void if we didn't use the truth for its intended purpose? We are not to stifle the truth, but are to, in a small way, show forth the praise of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In a small way now, yes, by making known to others the good tidings. But there are some great things that are being accomplished in us in the meantime, and in a greater way later on, showing forth the praise of him when the kingdom work proper commences. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 16th verse says, Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Yes, this would be detrimental to him as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if we who have the truth do not preach the truth, it would be detrimental to us. And if persisted in, it would even be disastrous. Yes, woes or misfortune would follow. follow the new creature. With the heart, we are told in Romans 10:10, that man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If we are to have any force or weight or influence behind this message, we must believe it in our own heart, first of all. And we cannot believe in our heart something which, at least to some extent, we cannot comprehend, cannot appreciate. No, if we believe it with the heart, with our affections, if we love something, of necessity we must understand a little something about it. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Yes, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What the heart sees and hears of the grace of God, and if it has been truly accepted by us, in due time, this will generate enthusiasm. And there will be some outward manifestation of our joy and peace and hope and trust and thankfulness. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We who have received the light of truth have seen that something of the wonderful grace of God and His divine plan, have tasted that the Lord is gracious, have heard the wonders of so great a salvation. We must not, we cannot keep silent. We cannot put our light under a bushel. You know what our Master said? That light would soon be extinguished. Yes, it would stop our growth as new creatures and would eventually, if continued, mean our destruction. For if we are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is mighty to pull us through, to work out our salvation, if we are ashamed of this gospel, then Jesus will also be ashamed of us, and we will not be found made meet for any place in the kingdom. As consecrated Christians, how can we restrain or contain ourselves from preaching this beautiful Bible message? A message which the angels had announced would be preached unto all people. The good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. The good message of God's love and wonderful provision through Jesus' death, not only for the canceling of the sins of the world, but also removing its effects during the next age through the resurrection process. This message, at this time, during this gospel age, has begotten us to a new life, however, a spiritual life, by following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. And this message acts indeed as a fire within our bones, and we grow weary with forbearing. We must tell it out. It was mentioned this morning too, this afternoon I believe, also, that the message has a sanctifying and cleansing effect upon us, not only as we tell it out to others, but as we practice what we preach. And this is accomplished by and through the instrumentality of the truth. Remember how the Apostle Paul states it in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, or the truth. And so while we preach to others, the truth must have an effect upon us also, which is most important. For if we preach to others, as the Apostle Paul states it, and do not keep our body under, and it doesn't have the proper exercising influence over us, then we would become castaways, no good as members of the bride of Christ. And so, brethren, we want to apply, I'm sure, in our own hearts, in our own lives the truth and its spirit, so that we have do not receive this grace of God in vain. In Hebrews 2:1, the apostle says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Those who bear the vessels of the Lord, the truths of the Lord, are to be clean. And we appreciate the robe of Christ's righteousness and the privilege of prayer. If we make mistakes, we go to the throne of grace boldly, asking for forgiveness. The Heavenly Father has made this arrangement for us. Otherwise, you and I could have never been accepted in covenant relationship with our Creator. And we appreciate this wonderful arrangement of mercy. The truth has a special force and a special influence during this present time. And this is shown by the statement which Isaiah makes concerning, prophetically, the feet members of the body of Christ. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth," Isaiah 52:7. And the context shows that the time is near for this message to be preached unto every creature throughout the entire world. And I believe, brethren, that this is even now, to some extent, commencing to be fulfilled. I believe that many are seeing the restitution features of God's wonderful program and the final outcome. Why? Because the message is going out over the radio, through the television, and by the printed page. And while they may not make a consecration to sacrifice, I'm sure it is finding a resting place in their heart and in their mind. And many will be quick to fall in line with the new arrangement because of this preaching. The vision of truth that has been given to us has been made very plain. The Lord hasn't called very many educated people. No, the common man, perhaps in eighth grade, maybe high school education, some not even that. But he hath written it for our learning, made it plain upon tablets, that he that runneth, that he that readeth may run it, may run. The message, however, has brought its tests. Bible students during this harvest period have thought that it would be all over in 1914. Perhaps there may have been much disappointment for those who came to the truth before 1914. But it hasn't, I assure you, brethren, brought any disappointment to those who've come into the truth and made a consecration and have had that consecration accepted after 1914, of which yours truly is one. And I'm sure that many of the younger brethren here have made their consecration and have felt that the Lord is gracious and have tasted of the good word of God and of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and the power of the world to come. And these brethren are such as are in our midst this evening. Though it delay, wait for it. It will surely come. For our Fenton translates this, "If it lingers, yet wait for it. It will not delay." And those who are sincerely in love with the truth will wait for it. You know, it is impossible, I believe, to love something that is unlovely, that is ugly, that is not beautiful. And for God to require us to be faithful to something like this, I'm sure that we would all fail. Not only does our Heavenly Father know it, but we would soon find that out, that we couldn't be faithful to something that is not beautiful, not lovely. But it is not so with the truth. The truth is lovely, is good, is noble, is just, is virtuous, is praiseworthy. Any good adjective that I can think of and you can think of, apply it there. The truth is wonderful. And some of the features concerning the truth are so grand that they are beyond description. they elevate our appreciation of God and the truth. And we exclaim with the apostle in Ephesians 3:19, oh, the lengths and the breadths and the heights and the depths, not only of God's love, but of his wisdom and truth. Those who love the truth, it is a fragrance of life that leadeth unto life. And we cannot fail, brethren, if we hold fast our confidence to the end. The truth has not only brought us the truth, the truth has also brought us real love. In understanding the divine plan of the ages, the truth, we see the wonderful attributes of our Creator, our loving and merciful Heavenly Father. We see not only his justice, we see not only his wisdom, we see not only his power, but behind it all we see his love. And brethren, we who have the truth and who have the Holy Spirit of love and truth have no right to speak the truth from any other motive or in any other manner than that of love. Speaking the truth in love. This phrase, speaking the truth, looking it up in Strong's Concordance, is the translation of really only one Greek word, aletheus. And aletheus means to be true in doctrine as well as profession, to speak, to tell the truth. And it is derived from another Greek word, alephes, which means to be true. True, truly, truth, to be true in the truth, to be truly in the truth, to be sincerely in the truth. Literally, then, this three-word English phrase, a translation of one Greek word, could have been translated by another English word, namely, truthing. T-R-U-T-H-I-N-G. Truthing in love. The dialogue renders it being truthful in love. We must lovingly hold to the truth, for our bent in following the truth in love, rather than pursuing the truth in love. Truthing in love, then, brethren, means more than just to speak the truth. It means that we are to live the truth and think the truth and love the truth, and then our worship will be acceptable to God, who desires that those who worship him do so in spirit, in understanding, in love, and in truth. God is truth, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. So literally, again, truthing in love, brethren, means more than just speaking the truth in love. It means living the truth daily, in and out, whether we are with our brethren or with the world. It means that we will assemble with those of like precious faith, others who have the truth. And we will be doing it in love, with pure motives, with intentions of building one another up in the most holy faith. Thus we shall be true to the truth and develop a character in due time which will have God's approval by reaching the full maturity mentioned by the Apostle Paul. When are we to speak this good message in love? Where? Surely not in the street. We have too dignified a message to harangue people in the streets. When then? In season? Yes, in season. In season for who? For us? Brethren, if we love the truth, it will always be in season for us to speak the truth. Has anyone ever tested you by inquiring about your faith? How long did it take you to spark up and begin firing like an 8-cylinder engine? Oh, you love to talk because you found it in your adherers. So always in season for us, but it may not be in season for the other person. And so we have some advice along this line. A word fitly spoken, that is in season, how good it is. It is like apples of gold in framework of silver. Very rarely, brethren, do we have the opportunity to tell others about the entire plan of God, but we can. And we do have the opportunity of dropping a seed thought and then following it up. Perhaps the Lord will use someone else to follow it up, but the seed thought has already been planted, and some meditation in the heart and mind of the individual is taking place. It's beginning to grow. First the blade, and then the grass, and then the fruit on the blade. I'm just not getting this right, but you know what I mean. Everything has a small beginning. It begins with a thought. And so a thought, a word fitly spoken, how good it is. What are the methods that we can use? There are numerous ways for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth. The same method may not always be the best. You know how the fishermen do? They bring along with them a lot of bait because the fish may bite on this or on that. They don't know. And so with us, we have different methods which are approved by God and that we are at liberty to use. For example, I've listed 8 here, the printed page. Oh, we can tell sometimes the other person very much about the plan, but give them a little tract. We drop a seed thought, follow it up with a little tract, and perhaps they'll read it. Maybe not in your presence, but when they get home. And then we have the radio and television, a wonderful means for reaching people, right in their own parlor. Then the public talks, and we can support them. We may not always be the speaker, but we can support them. We can track, we can, by our presence, show that we are interested and support the speaker that way, support the Lord too. Then by private conversation, as we have opportunity, orally making the truth known to others. And recently again, brother and I are renting booths at the various fairs and thus passing out truth literature. Then there are the funeral services. Oh, how many broken hearts have been, to some extent at least, made glad by this message. And last but not least, we have our own daily life. By our conduct, by our deportment, by our dealings with others, for are not we exhorted to be living epistles known and read of all men? Perhaps you may be the only Bible that the individual that comes in contact with you will read during this present life. A question was asked, who brought you into Christ? And the reply was, or whose preaching rather brought you into Christ? And the reply was, it wasn't anyone's preaching. It was Aunt Minnie's practicing. And so if we practice what we preach, sometime it's a more potent sermon than a lot of words. But if our practicing is not in accordance and harmony with our preaching, then what we do speaks so loud that what we say they can't. You know, Jesus tells us, spoken to the prison, spoken to the spirits that were in prison, that is the spirit beings in the atmosphere of this earth, those who kept not their first estate. And how do you think he did it? By his actions, by his humility, by his doing the will of God under adverse conditions. And then they seen him elevated to the right hand of God and given a name above every name. What a powerful sermon that must have been to the angelic host above, and particularly the fallen angels. And we have every reason to believe that some of them have repented and are waiting to be reinstated into the full favor of God. When I was a young boy in school, we had to memorize a little poem. I thought you might appreciate this. The because it is in harmony with our topic. Which loved best is the title. I love you, mother, said little John. Then forgetting his work, his cap went on, and he was off to the garden swing and left her the water and wood to bring. I love you, mother, said Rosie Nell. I love you better than tongue can tell. Then she teased and pouted full half the day till her mother rejoiced when she went to play. I love you, mother, said little Fan. Today I'll help you all I can. How glad I am that school hasn't kept. So she rocked the babe till it fell asleep. Then stepping softly, she fetched a broom and swept the floor and tidied the room. Helpful and happy as child could be. I love you, mother, again, they said. Three little children going to bed. How do you think that mother guessed which of them really loved mother the best? And so if we talk about the Lord and about his truth, we're going to show that we love it by doing something about it. We have a duty. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation to the Lord because of the good message that he has given and which we have accepted. And in proportion as we know God and his true character, this creates in us confidence and boldness to preach the message of truth. And then with the receiving of the Holy Spirit, oh, how this comes.